I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
CNC Radio Factory, Chad Dukes, Johnny Cakes, Coffin Hot Dog from the Sports Junkies radio program. With you, that was Mike Jones from the USA Today, who is on Chad Dukes versus the World yesterday. His co-worker from the USA Today, longtime guest of both of our shows, Mr. Nate Davis, is on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline on the Fan right now. Nate, how you doing, bud?
Doing good, Chad. How you doing? You guys staying safe?
We are doing what we can, my friend. And I don't know if you heard that clip coming back, but Mike Jones was fairly blunt about what he thought the problem was with this Trent Williams situation in the Redskins. And he thinks it's Trent Williams' representation, of course, was on our midday show this week and fired off a rather scathing memo at the beginning of the week, blaming the Redskins and saying his client's going to be more vocal now, basically. I was curious if you were hearing some of that or where you think the blame lies in this whole thing that we're still talking about Trent Williams and the Redskins.
I mean, I think there. I mean, I guess I should say first. You know, I've talked to plenty of people that think Mike Jones doesn't know what he's doing, so I don't know why you guys keep having him on. No, I love that guy. He's a great dude, as you know. But you know, I think there's plenty of blame to go around. But you know, I think probably at this point too, with the Redskins under a new regime, it was pretty easy to point the finger at Bruce Allen last year. But you know, it'd just be nice to see all parties kind of get this resolved, particularly since I think there is a market out there for Trent Williams, and there's the opportunity to get a deal done. But I mean, you can also see like why new guys coming in and Ron Rivera don't want to, you know, get their regime started by kind of being held hostage by this guy or trying to capitulate and say, well, we're just going to give him up for you know, a kicking tee. So I think, you know, Wherever the blame is, you would hope that they could work together and get something done, because at this point, nobody's winning this.
Nate, what do you think the eventual compensation will be for Trent Williams? Do you think it'll eventually be a third-round pick, maybe a third and a fifth-round pick? Will some team be willing to go as high as a second-round pick? It looks like the Redskins thought that they would get more for him at this point than what the market is playing out.
Yes, it sounds like at this point that third rounder that you mentioned is kind of the sweet spot. But you know, I would say too that, you know, if I'm the Redskins, you know, I wouldn't necessarily, either despite what I just said, feel like I need to make a deal tomorrow. I mean, I think the time that you maybe want to do this is after the first round of the draft is over, because there is a fairly strong tackle market in the draft this year, which you don't typically see. But again, there's a bunch of teams picking up top that need one. You know, the Jets, the Cardinals, the Browns, maybe the Giants. So even though that tackle market looks like it's got quality and depth, it could go pretty fast on night one of the draft. And you know, a lot of times you see stuff kind of put in motion once teams kind of see who's off the board. And as they're heading into the second night, when you still have your second round or your third round to deal with. And, you know, I think teams like the Jets, who are picking 11th, and they might miss out, you know, on one of these elite guys. I would certainly have my phone line open to them. And look at Tampa Bay, too. I mean, they've got a guy who's been durable over there, Donovan Smith. But, not exactly the best guy in the world. If I'm Jason Light, you know, knowing that I've got probably a 2-year window here to try to win the Super Bowl with Tom Brady, you know, I'm looking to stick Donovan Smith on the right side and get myself a much better guy on the left side. So I think you also want to look at teams like that that clearly are in win now mode. They pick 14th. So again, that's another team I think it's going to be in the market and probably not going to have a very good shot at one of these top guys.
Nate Davis is our guest on the CNC Radio Factory, the inaugural edition. You can say you were there when it first started, Nate. Mazel tov, my friend. All right, enough. Let me ask one more question. There was Bucky Brooks today said that he wouldn't be surprised if Kyle Allen beat out Dwayne Haskins. And, you know, Ron Rivera went on the radio and said, hey, Haskins is the guy. But he also said competition. And when he first got here, he was on my radio show, and he brought up immediately Case Keenum and Colt McCoy, who are, of course, no longer on the team. Give me the chances you think something like that could take place, especially with these crazy circumstances that there aren't many camps. You know, if we have a shortened preseason and training camp, I would assume that would benefit a quarterback, even if he's unsigned or what have you, that already knows the system that Turner and Rivera are going to be running. Or what are the chances you think that guy could march out of the tunnel week one as the Redskins quarterback?
I think it's a decent chance. I mean, where the Redskins get up for him? Fifth round pick, I want to say.
Yeah.
That's one round lower than the Bears gave up for Nick Foles. And, you know, they were more interested in getting a guy like Kyle Allen than, you know, going, you know, obviously Cam Newton and Jameis Winston aren't going to come for free. But, you know, it's a great point you make. I mean, Kyle Allen knows the system. You know, he played really well for a month last year after taking over for Cam. It could be one of those things, too, where, you know, once the league saw him and there was film out there on him and defenses could really game plan for him, the things started to go south. But, again, like you said, he's got that built-in advantage, and he's you know, he was a highly recruited guy. His college career didn't pan out, obviously, the way he wanted to. But, I mean, he's got some ability, and I thought that was a pretty shrewd move on Washington's part. And that said, too, though, you know, if they get into camp and Ron Rivera doesn't like what he's seeing, you do kind of still wonder about Cam Newton being out there, the guy that knows the system and is going to be looking for a job. So I'm not saying I'm hearing that that's going to happen, but when you kind of look at what camp's market is or isn't at this point, and obviously many people have tried to connect the dots to him and Ron Rivera, you just kind of wonder, you know, depending on where the Redskins see their team, and are they just a good quarterback away from competing in a fairly soft NFC East, this can come into play at some point in this thing.
We're joined by Nate Davis from the USA Today. Give him a follow at by Nate Davis on Twitter. So the Redskins have gone pretty low cost at tight end to fill the void left by Jordan Reed and Vernon Davis departing. Logan Thomas and Richard Rodgers are in. What sort of impact do you see them making on this offense? These guys have not put up huge numbers. Rodgers did about 4 or 5 years ago, but Thomas is still more of a developmental guy there at tight end.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably a door number two situation. You know, do they try to target a guy in the middle of the draft? And, you know, it is interesting given that we know, again, with this offense, that Greg Olsen was a big part of it. Certainly you don't have anybody of Greg Olsen's caliber in the building right now. So that would be seen to be one area that they would want to shore up. But, I mean, Logan Thomas, two people in the area, remember, came up as a quarterback at Virginia Tech. So it's not even like he's really super experienced in that position and always had time to learn it. In the NFL, he still hasn't really ever flourished. So, and Richard Rodgers, you know, he's a guy that can fill in for the lineup for you, but he's been in the league for a while, and I think most people probably remember him bringing down that Aaron Rodgers Hail Mary years ago in Detroit. But otherwise, you know, a career that most people aren't going to remember. So certainly they could do some more work there. But not a lot of guys available as free agents, and it's not going to be a real fruitful year, I think, in the draft for tight ends this year.
Are you when you talk about who you're going to make a swing at? I Austin Hooper was the guy. I was like, go ahead and break the bank for that guy, set the market, whatever your whatever the trope is you want to use there, I don't care. But they've just been so horrible at tight end for so long, Nate, and they made the wrong calls and invested in the wrong guy. The fact that they took a big swing at Amari Cooper and then were rebuffed for less money for the Cowboys, I'm sitting here scratching my head looking at that wide receiver core saying, you got one great guy, you got another guy you think's pretty darn good, and another guy with promise. if I don't mind them drafting or bringing in a vet, which they have now at this point, but I was very puzzled that that was the big swing the Redskins took, especially when Cooper looked as, you know, as struggled as much as he did down the stretch with the Cowboys last year.
So you just upset there wasn't kind of a contingency plan beyond Cooper.
No, if you're going to go crazy, I would have gone crazy on Hooper. I wouldn't have. I mean, Amari Cooper is not the guy I want them breaking the bank for.
Yeah, well, I like Amari Cooper. I mean, who knows? I mean, I thought the Cowboys overpaid to bring him in the first place, and they've got a good guy, Michael Gallup, coming up there. And you know, some people will tell you that Amari Cooper kind of feasts on the number two corners when he is faced up against those guys. But you know, I'm not sure either. I would have felt great about making Austin Hooper the number one paid tight end in the business at this point either. And he's going to a team where he's going to be basically sharing, you know, the load with David Njoku. I'm sure he'll get more targets than Njoku will, but. He kind of emerged in the last year or two, and he's kind of your classic catch only, doesn't block much kind of tight end. So, you know, I can kind of see that one. And then I thought maybe the Browns. I like the move for Cleveland. I'm not sure I would have liked it as much for the Redskins. And again, I kind of appreciate the fact that the Redskins have shown some level of restraint in spending here, which isn't typically what they do. So, to me, it's a positive sign that Ron Rivera has come in. And they're not going crazy in free agency as they normally do. And that, you know, again, it's going to be a weird off season, but I think the best course for them right now is like, let's establish the culture. Let's find out what we really have and really need, before overspending for guys that we're not really sure about, and trying to fit them into a puzzle and getting boxed into a bunch of guaranteed money. So, I'm kind of appreciating the slow build that we're seeing at this point in time.
Nate, I was checking out your off-season grades on USAtoday.com. You gave the New England Patriots a big fat F for losing Tom Brady and carrying $26 million in dead cap space. Does Bill Belichick think he can wave his magic wand over Jarrett Stidham and Brian Hoyer and get close to 10 wins this season?
Well, of course he does. I mean, I'm sure he's going to make me look like a jack wagon for giving them an F, but to me, you know, it's one thing if you decide, hey, we're gonna give up the greatest player in league history, let him go. But you know, when you talk about letting him go for nothing, you know, it was worse than that. I mean, I think Brady's departure left $13 million in dead cap money on the cap, and like I said, you know, total $26 million there. So not only do you lose the best player the league has ever seen, sort of the best player in franchise history in New England, but you've also, you know, you haven't given yourself any ability to spend to fix it. You know, I think the Pats have under $2 million in cap space right now. They franchise tagged guard Joe Tooney, who, as guards go, he's very good, but you know, I never to pay a guard left tackle money with the franchise tag makes no sense to me. And you just kind of wonder, are they looking ahead to next year, or was Belichick just so confident that Brady was coming back that he was operating under that assumption, and then when he's left holding the bag, you know, he's going to be hard pressed to flesh out that roster, even with the spare parts. You know, we all know he's so good at acquiring and leveraging and making the most of. He can't really do that. And oh, by the way, they lost three or four starters from that number one defense last year. So I'm sure Bill Belichick is going to be energized by trying to prove everybody wrong, saying that they're having a disastrous offseason, and maybe Jarrett Stidham, as a fourth-round guy, is going to be that much better than Tom Brady was as a sixth-round guy. But until you see it, and until you kind of see, you know, whatever subsequent moves they're going to make, and obviously there are going to be some, it's really hard to see where this team is going. And the only upshot being that, again, playing in that division, you know, at least they're not looking up at some juggernaut they got to overcome.
I am so intrigued by the Buccaneers for a multitude of reasons. First of all, I think the Panthers are going to be terrible. I have no faith in the Falcons. The Saints probably are still one of the best teams in the NFC, but they're doing weird things at quarterback, and I don't know, maybe they take a step back. I would love to see Brady get a shot at the NFC postseason, even if it's a wild card, and if it comes at the expense of, you know, some humility for Bill Belichick, I don't fault him for his success. I'm not one of these people that screams and bitches about the Patriots cheating or what have you, but I think it's about time for some hard times. Dusty Rhodes warned us about them many years ago, Nate. It's about time that we see some of that up in Boston. I would relish that very much as a football fan.
Well, it disappoints me, Chad, that you know, for someone who's been known to be critical at times, that you would not be upset with the Patriots or take them to task for some of their shadiness in the past years. But you just wonder, is this going to be one of those situations? Like, it just feels like you're saying it's going to be a Hard Knocks kind of year for them. Maybe we'll see them on Hard Knocks a year from now. But is this going to be like when the Spurs lost to David Robinson for that one year, and then somehow wound up with Tim Duncan a year later, and they were right back to being a super team? I mean, who knows? It's so hard for me to kind of see what's the long-term plan there. And they don't even have draft picks this year, guys. I mean, we're used to the Patriots going into the draft having 10 or 11 picks and, you know, 14 second-rounders and all that crazy stuff. I mean, they have no second-rounder this year because they traded that for Mohamed Sanu last year, which in retrospect was a pretty worthless move for them. So it's just hard to see how are they going to manage to reload this thing with really – no major influx of talent apparently on the way. And you did mention Brady. I mean, the Bucks are going to be fun. You know, I think I wrote like a 7-point plan of stuff they still got to do after acquiring Brady. I mean, I would love to see them call the Patriots and ask about, hey, can we get Julian Edelman? You guys don't need him, or James White, or one of those guys that Brady can really use down there. But you still want to see that left tackle. We mentioned Trent earlier. They still need some help on the back end of the defense. But, you know, I think people probably missed last year that the Bucs went 7-9 just because the NFC is so loaded and lost a bunch of games by like 4 and 5 and 8 points. You know, if you got a quarterback back there that simply doesn't throw 30 interceptions and maybe throws 12, I mean, you're talking about a team that's easily 10 or 11 wins, you know, under the circumstances from last year.
And Todd Bowles has revamped that defense. Yep. I mean, Brady is going to be able to check down. And then he's also got the wide receivers that he's never had before and tight ends. He loves tight ends. He's got two of them. I think it's going to be a huge success, even if his skills have eroded. He's still Tom Brady. By Nate Davis on Twitter. And, of course, all the content in the USA Today and USAtoday.com. Nate, have a wonderful weekend. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Nate.
All right. Thanks, fellas. Be safe. Yep.
Thank you for the time.
It's impossible for us to not be safe. Cakes and I are sitting in our underwear. Now, when we come back, John, you've been known as many monikers, but never John Bourbon. I think you're willing to give it a go when we come back and get a little hair of the dog that bit you early on in the afternoon here.
Chad, I consider you a learned man when it comes to all things bourbon, scotch, and whiskey. You have been going down that wormhole of late, and to be honest, I've never been a guy who's had a taste for that sort of hooch. Is that a bad term, hooch?
No, hooch is one of my favorite songs by everything. Let's play that coming back if you don't mind.
So I'm going to have you kind of hold my hand virtually and guide me through
Hootie
this.
Like Hootie and the
Blowfish. Yeah, you're definitely going to do that.
Coming back, Vic.
We'll do a bourbon tasting. You'll do yours at your compound in Oakton Falls, and I'll do mine from the O-Town in MD. So we'll do that next here on 106.7 The Fan.
And it's all for education, right,
Cakes? Yes, we're not going to drink a whole bottle. I mean, we're not Slash, right?
You were trying to take us to break. I apologize. I'm just so excited to start drinking early. Go ahead.
It's all good. We'll be right back.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I polished off a bottle of bare knuckle bourbon last night, Cakes, and much to my chagrin, you sent me a text this morning that you had an unfettered bottle of KO there in your house, which I no longer have.
Yes, well, it has been fettered at this point. I took the protective wrapping off of the top.
You just fettered the hell out of it.
And I have it in my hand. I have a bottle of single barrel, bare knuckle, straight bourbon whiskey, cask strength.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
So, again, this is why I think I need Big Shooter's help to kind of get me through these choppy waters that we're navigating, because I've never been a bourbon guy. I've never been a whiskey guy. Now, let me also say that I love KO Distilling. I love what they're doing. I love that they're local. They're based in Manassas.
Yes.
They do an amazing business, and hopefully they're going to get through this tough time where people can come out and take tours of their distillery when they open back up for business. They've been very supportive of 106.7 The Fan, of CDVTW, of the Junks, and all the shows there. So let me just say that if there's any harsh reaction once I sample it,
right,
it is no reflection of the actual product,
because your proclivities are not that of brown liquor thus far.
Right. It's much more a reflection of my weak constitution that I can't appreciate and drink this fine product like so many other people enjoy.
Can I give you just a little crash course?
Please. That's what I need. That's what I want.
You should not be trying your, I mean, I know it's not your first, but you should, cask strength. Do you know what that means?
I really don't. I need your help with that.
Well, it's just like that. It's not, it hasn't been diluted as much, substantially diluted. It is going to have a higher ABV, and it's generally going to be much stronger. I drink my whiskey and my bourbon neat. I like it room temperature in a glass, no ice, because I believe that's the way the distillers intend it. But they say for cask strength, some people do.
Cake strength,
yes. Whiskey would probably be a diet right, I'm guessing. I would go ahead and if you want to drop a cube in there or a little droplet of water or something like that, they say that it opens up the flavor of cask strength booze.
Okay, so what you're saying is, I'm effectively going from 0 to 100 in like 4 seconds.
Yeah, that's kind of like a black diamond slope instead of maybe starting with the bunny slope. You know what I mean?
I know what you're saying. I believe I also have a full container. I think I have a full handle of Jack in my office.
Why do you have that in your office?
I have it in the office because I bought it for a poker get together a few months ago, and I don't think anybody touched the Jack.
Yeah.
It went unopened. For whatever reason.
That sounds like a hell of a poker party you had, Kate.
What was wildly popular? Beer, and I think like a lot of vodka was consumed, but not a lot of whiskey.
You guys had a Sex in the City viewing party for your poker.
Yeah,
your poker
there tournament. Were a bunch of Cosmos being poured. Terrible. And what else? Yeah.
Remind me to never shuffle them up with you.
All right, so I'm going to pour. I'm going to pour right over the rocks right now. I've got like, I'm cheating a little bit. I've got 4 or 5 ice cubes in here instead of just one.
Yeah, you might as well just have,
you know what I'm saying?
You might as well have a juice box.
Am I doing it all wrong? I might as well have a juice box.
You do what you want. I mean, next time I would just get some Capri Suns and you can just ship the hooch.
Capri Suns are delicious, by the way. My son, who is 15, he'll be 16 in June.
Yeah.
He still likes him some Capri Suns, and I grabbed one a few weeks ago. Pretty satisfying. Not bad.
They had the adult size pouches of Capri Suns now too, I think, where you get like double the liquid. Because
really,
the problem with Capri Suns is when you become an adult, it's and then that whole thing is just completely finished. You know?
Yeah.
Now, you and I both have the affinity for the tall boy sodas as well.
Yes, correct. Absolutely, we do. Now, my daughter, before she was nice enough to go get me my my rocks glass filled with rocks ice cubes, and she looked at the bare knuckle bottle and she asked me if she drank or I drank the entire bottle, would we die? And at first I thought she meant like if we drank it like over, I don't know, like a 12-hour, 14-hour period over the span of a day. And I said, I don't think you would die, but it would throw you for a loop. And then she said, no, that's not what I meant. She meant if I just tipped it back and drank the entire bottle
in
90 seconds.
Yeah,
I said,
die.
Yes, 100% chance you would just die.
I'm sure there's human beings on this planet that wouldn't, but you or I would pass away immediately. Case.
Yeah, like Slash might be able to do it, and a bunch of guys in rock bands might be able to handle it, but we would be immediately loaded into the back of an ambulance with a sheet over our heads.
I have myself here a nice bottle of Blanton's single barrel bourbon whiskey, which is very difficult to find from Kentucky. So I will be joining you in your snort. Now, what I would say, Cax, is for someone that's just beginning with this,
yes,
don't if you even want to, this is going to sound blasphemous to some people, but for beginners, I have found that this has worked. If you want to kind of do the bit where you don't taste it on the way down and then you just focus on
the aftertaste. You get some of like the, you know, the oak and the wood or vanilla or whatever it is they're going for. You get more of it in the aftertaste, and then you don't experience as much of the burn. You might want to try that.
Just to let everybody know, this single barrel bare knuckle whiskey that I'm about to drink, and I'm not a whiskey drinker, alcohol by volume is 62.4%.
Oh, that's
it is
strong.
124.8 proof.
That is really strong, Cakes.
So this is I am not messing around. Hey, JT the Vic, can you fire up some AC/DC, some Have a Drink on Me? That is a classic.
That's perfect.
I would love to have a little bit of that playing in the background.
Wouldn't it be great if you got Hotline for Drinking on the Job by Mince Giner during all this? Make me very
happy. Never know. It could happen. That's the beauty of broadcasting on a Saturday afternoon with my guy Chad Dukes. We just never know what's going to happen. You don't know what's around that next corner.
I hope everybody's drinking along with us. I know that you guys are on the morning, but at afternoon drive, I get some of the most bibulous telephone calls where I think people have like gone to work early and they've knocked off and they're already half in the bag by 4:30 in the afternoon.
Right,
and they all want to call into Chad Dukes versus the world.
Right.
Quickly, also, Cakes, I want to tell you, there's this one bourbon where they put the hooch in barrels and they put it on a boat. And then they drive the boat all over the world, and they bring it back. And
I saw you tweeting about that. What is the name of that product?
That
again?
One's called Jefferson's Ocean. And they like crisscross back and forth across the equator, and then they put them in different vessels. So like, you always have like kind of a. First of all, it's always kind of salty because it's just been out in salt air moving around that entire time.
Okay, good.
But then it gets all the different characteristics of the barrels as it's sloshing around in the hull of a boat. It's a pretty cool gimmick.
That is a good bit they're doing. Traipsing across the globe and adding that flavor to their hooch.
How many fingers did you pour yourself there?
One and three quarters?
With that much ice?
That's with the ice. All right. Now you're shaming me. Now I feel like I have to add a little more.
God's sake.
My wife is just shaking her head at me like, what are you doing?
You're drinking in the middle of the day, being a man's
this
man.
This is what happens when you broadcast on the weekends, babe.
That's what John Oliver is doing.
I will add a little bit more. There's no promise that I will drink this entire thing. All right, that's a healthy two-finger pour right there.
I kind of would like this to be, if we ever have to do another one of these, is that you're just drinking whiskey the entire time. I think that's I think that would be a tremendous characteristic for this show.
All right, I'm about to take a sip. And again, if I have an adverse reaction, this is no reflection of the Bare Knuckle product, which is an amazing product.
I finished off one of their bottles that had no adverse reaction last night, so there's always that as well. All right, go ahead, Cakes. Give it a snort.
All right, Chad. Cheers to you, my friend. All right, here we go.
Cilantro, my friend. Enjoy yourself. Delish. How are you feeling?
I feel pretty good.
Feel that burn, baby?
There's a slight burn.
Let you know you're alive.
It definitely is making me feel alive at this point. My mouth is a little bit alive. And now it's kind of spreading up into my cheeks and near my eyeball region.
Well, it's not wasabi, Cakes, for God's sakes. Get a hold of yourself.
It's true. I'm not snorting wasabi. All right, I'll take another little drag here.
Have a pull, for God's sakes. I like this. Just narrating Cakes drinking whiskey.
Here is my initial response.
All right.
Not as harsh as I thought it would be.
Nice. Especially for cask strength.
I thought it would be a little more like gasoline-y, you know what I'm saying?
That's a technical term, I think.
It is, yes.
You're Benito gasoline-y, Cakes.
But I could see where people would want it a bit stronger. They don't want the ice diluting it. But again, this is me with the training wheels on, Chad.
Yeah, of course.
I need to kind of take baby steps. The cask strength is not a baby step.
Look.
It's pretty intense.
Drinking hooch should be like your phone. It should be like your video game system. Whatever makes you happy should be the way that you do it.
Right.
That being said, it's like ketchup on a steak. Like if the chef catches you doing it, that's not the way that they intended it to be consumed. But the cast strength, I think you would get away with that. People are tweeting us in now. Jason just sent me a tweet. He's drinking a Bragged Ranch bourbon as we speak. Yeah, if you're drinking Tweet Cakes and I Pick Your Snore, if you're already in the bottle, it's 1:40 in the afternoon as the crow flies. That Money Metal Cakes and at Chad Dukes, let us know. Well, look, Vic, clip this up. First of all, send it over to Marconi for the Radio Hall of Fame in this segment. And also get it over to KO Distilling. They have just converted Johnny Cakes Allville on what is the name? Hard Times and Weirdness. What's the name of our show? The Radio Inquisition.
The CNC Radio Factory.
That's us, baby. That's right. I thought it was Ron and Fez for a second, but I think that one was already taken. All right. If you are tweeting us bottles of your hooch, please do that. Coming up at the top of the hour, I believe JP Finley's going to join us, who also is a drunk. And it's also, Cakes, how old are your kids? He's stuck in there with very young kids during this quarantine.
My kids are at the opposite end of the spectrum of J.P. Finley's. I have three kids. Their ages presently are 22, 17, 15.
It's about as good a hand as you can be dealt with because they're people. You know what I mean? Like when they're kids and you have to make sure they're not, you know, like eating batteries and things like that.
Right.
That's gotta be tough, but at least you have human beings that are walking around in your house. I don't know. It's gotta be better off than what every time I call JP Finley, it sounds like the Spanish Inquisition going on in the background.
It probably sounds like there's a three ring circus going on in his house during every call. But I can understand that with, you know, the kids being cooped up, not getting out of the house. That's just the way it works.
Cameron's drinking some Buffalo Trace. Anthony tweeted over that he's drinking some Basil Hayden's. All right, Cakes, we are fomenting alcoholism across the greater Washington, D.C. area.
Look at this trend we've started, Chad.
If we were going to make a list of things that I wanted the show to accomplish, creating more day drunks is probably at the top.
Absolutely.
All right, here's what we'll do. Cakes will finish up his beverage, and J.P. Finley will join us at the top of the hour. If you'd like to chime in, 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067 is the phone number. You're listening to the CNC Radio Factory.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, can I get a hint or no?
Yeah, I'll give you a hint. He's one of the biggest touring musicians in the world right now.
Biggest touring musicians in the world.
Did a collaboration with Justin Timberlake a few years back.
All right, I'm throwing a dart at a board here.
All right.
Is this Chris Stapleton?
Look at you. I owe you one simoleon.
You know my Venmo.
Well done. I do know your Venmo. Damn it, now I actually have to make good on the bet. I can just Venmo it over to you.
I'm just glad I actually pulled it. But yeah, your hint helped me, no doubt.
Chris Stapleton, this is the Steel Drivers. This is his bluegrass band. He also has a southern rock band that I think you'd really like, Cakes. They're called the Johnson Brothers. You would you dig that.
Why does Chad Duke sleep on 38 Special? Why does he do that?
How did I know that's exactly who you were going to say?
Now, my file is not deep on southern rock. I mean, of course, you know your Leonard Skinner's.
Of course.
You know your 38 Special.
Allman Brothers.
What about some Marshall Tucker Band, Chad. Well, look,
I think Marshall Tucker Band is one of the most underrated rock bands of all time, because all we've gotten fed is Can't You See over and over and over again for, you know, they never play any of the B-sides or deep cuts. They got some great tunes. I've seen them in concert twice.
Yeah, shocker. The only one I know is The Hit. I don't really know that much about them. I just know their name. And I know that they're still touring, I believe.
They got about, a bunch of new members, of course, like all these guys do. They become, it's interesting with rock and roll. Like, hip-hop doesn't seem to do this. Hip-hop, they do the bit where, like, the generations all band together and do, like, a tour. But with rock, it's almost like the band becomes an entity. All the members die off, and you just have this cast that tours with whoever's left.
Well, that's why it's cool to see bands that still have most, if not all, of their original members still together. It's why I went with Amy to go see Aerosmith at MGM National Harbor like last summer. Because, I mean, how many more times are you going to get to see Aerosmith swinging around, you know?
I mean, to me, the Rolling Stones, it's what makes them so unbelievable. That, first of all, they're a great blues band, a great country band, and a great rock, and the greatest rock and roll band of all time. And then all those guys are still alive, and somehow they can all still do it, which is nuts, considering what I plan on being like when I'm in my 70s.
Absolutely. It's crazy. By the way, I don't think I've gotten to thank Chad Dukes enough for probably one of my favorite, if not my most favorite, rock moment of all time.
What's that?
Just to refresh the audience, this was, I think, in 2000. It was somewhere between, like, 2007 and 2010. You might have to narrow it down for me. When you had the opportunity, along with Oscar Santana, to go on stage with Poison at Jiffy Lube Live, and you said, "I'd rather kick all the rocks than do that." And then you called your boy Johnny Flakes because you knew I liked Poison, and you knew I also liked Rat, who was opening for Poison at that show. And you said, "Hey, what are you doing today?" I was like, "Don't really have much on the schedule." And you said, "How would you like to go on stage and sing with Poison?" And I said, "What? what sort of sorcery is this?" And so, you know, to make a long story short, I got to go to Jiffy Lube Live. I got to watch Rat play. They opened for Poison. Got to go meet Steven Piercy backstage. That was cool. And then at the end of the Poison gig, Oscar and I got brought up, and we got to sing Nothing But a Good Time for the encore in front of about 13,000 people at Jiffy Lube Live, and the only reason I got to do it is because Chad Dukes didn't want to do it.
Well, hold on a second. Let me go ahead and clarify this.
Please.
I like Bret Michaels. If you've never met Bret Michaels, he is one of the nicest people on the planet Earth. You know this, Cake.
Super nice.
I mean, he's so nice he makes me uncomfortable because I'm like, you're too famous to be this good to people.
Correct.
I am getting in and out of that particular establishment is the bane of my existence. I used to do it in my teens and in my 20s. I can't do it anymore. That's the only reason why I turned it down. And did you know this, Cakes? Here's a little trivia for you.
Yes.
You know I own a business, right?
Correct.
In my shop in Commonwealth Dry Goods, we sell Shining Soul candles.
Okay.
Do you know who the proprietor is of Shining Soul candles?
Ooh, this is a good question. Is it Bret Michaels?
It's not Bret Michaels, but his lead guitarist, who's a guy named Pete, and he is out on tour with Bret all the time. He owns Shining Soul Candles. So I will call Pete up, and I'll be like, "Hey, man, I need like this and this and this." He's like, "Oh, that's cool, man. We're playing with Kiss. I can get to you on Monday after we're back off tour." And I'm like,
"Well, when you said it was his lead guitarist, I thought you were going to tell me that it was CC DeVille, which I'm sure is his real name, that had a line of candles that he put out." But apparently,
this is when he goes out by him when he's Bret Michaels.
I understand. Or it could
that be?
It could have been his drummer, Ricky Rocket.
It's not. I believe it's Pete Evick is his last name. He's a hell of a nice guy, and my God, has he lived a life. You want to talk about stories for days going out? Because he was on, remember, Bret Michaels was on like a Celebrity Apprentice, so he has all these stories about like that whole experience and how you win Celebrity Apprentice. He's also a big, do you believe in UFOs?
Do I believe in UFOs?
Yeah.
About 2% of me believes that they could be out there.
You ever talk with someone that really believes in UFOs?
I probably try to avoid that as much as possible.
It's very interesting. And here's what I would say to you, Cakes, as someone that doesn't believe in UFOs. Do you ever watch Joe Rogan's podcast?
I have seen snippets.
All right. So go watch the episode as soon as we're done with this. The guy's name is Commander David Fravor, and he's a Navy pilot.
And he has video to go along with this video that the Navy has acknowledged has UFOs in it. They don't know what these things are, and they're moving all over the place. And this isn't some wackadoo. This is a military, you know, officer that's also a fighter pilot.
Right.
And he's just chronicling what he saw. And by the end of it, I would caution you to watch this, because by the end of it, you're going to know that aliens exist.
Right.
And that they're here and that they're flying around. Now, I don't know the extent of it, but you go down a rabbit hole, because I was like you. I'm a skeptic. Like, you heard Dan Aykroyd going on radio shows talking about the Yeti and you know, ghosts and stuff like that.
Sure.
Like, whatever. But you watch that guy on Rogan's podcast, and you tell me that you don't have a completely different perspective on that stuff.
All right, I can do that. I will check that out as soon as the show is done. Getting back to Brett for a sec, Brett Michaels, the nicest guy maybe on the planet, but certainly nicest guy in rock. So after the show is done, I get invited onto his tour bus with Oscar Santana.
What?
And we're drinking Coronas until like midnight.
That should never – Oscar should never have been allowed to do that. That man cares about nothing other than himself.
No, that may be the case, but we were cracking Coronas until about midnight. And I said, Brett, I love hanging out with you. You're the nicest guy ever. But I got to be on the air like in 5.5 hours.
You left.
And I'm in Bristow, Virginia.
You were the one that left Brett Michaels. He didn't throw you off his bus?
Not at all. I think I could have stayed on the bus and gone with him to like Richmond or like Greensboro, his next door stop.
Why don't you call in sick the next day?
I know.
That's a lifetime opportunity.
I'm kicking myself. I could have been an honorary roadie for Brett Michaels on his tour. With Rat, by the way, used to be my one seeds back in the day.
I know. You're big. I got a Rat cassette tape in my store the other day, and I was like, Hanks is the only person on earth I know that would
be appreciated. Hold on. Wait a second. Which album was it? Is it Out of the Cellar? Is it in? Give me the album cover, and I can tell you what it was, Chad.
I'd rather run a marathon than know any Rat album, so I have no idea.
Was it Invasion of Your Privacy with You're in Love and Lay It Down, which are both radio smashes?
I guarantee I'm going to go in there. The Rat cassette will still be there. I'll take a pic. You know what? I'll just bring it into you. How about
maybe
that?
It was their 1988 release, Dance, or perhaps it was their 1990 release. I think that was the year you got me the vinyl from your store. I have it in my office along with my bare knuckle whiskey.
Hey, also, can we put to bed something real quick that's a little awkward?
Yeah, sure.
Were you freaked out that I got you a signed guitar?
Oh, you know what? I haven't given you the proper due for that.
Well, I gave Cakes a signed guitar. And I don't hear anything. And then like 2 weeks go by and I get a text that just says, hey, thanks for the guitar. And I'm like, did I freak him out or something? Did he not like the fact that I got it? I was a Striper guitar.
Striper. Love the yellow and black attack. Who doesn't love Christian metal?
Well, I knew you liked Striper, so I got this. And I talked to Drab, and Drab said, I don't know, man. He was a little weird about it. And I'm like, did I freak Cakes out by getting him a signed guitar?
No, you did not freak me out. I was just actually, I was more taken aback that actually existed, like out on eBay or wherever you bid on it. I was like, this is a signed Striper guitar. Like, how many of these are out in the universe right now? Can't be many.
It's clearly a charity auction, and I hate to put those guys in a bad spot because I don't know them, but I was the minimum bid. Nobody had bid on it, so I just put the minimum was like $500 or something. I forget what it was. And I won it because nobody else bid on the Striper signed guitar.
Well, again, that's in my office, too. My office is just loaded with 90s hair metal memorabilia and a lot of alcohol.
Will you tweet, did you steal any gold records from HFS before it flipped like everybody else
did? I
did
not. I believe a guy whose name rhymes with Merrick Brinkle may have, but I did not.
I believe he stole one that was by a band that sounds like Bounting Flows.
He did that. And I think it was under the ownership of one Bob Waugh, who looks up on his wall and there's a big empty space where that gold record should be.
There's an HFS guitar that was in CK's office for like a couple of weeks. I came so – first of all I was doing was figuring out ways. The only reason I didn't steal it is because, you know, people get caught stealing things in our place of business because there's so many cameras.
Sure.
I came up with so many different ways to try to get that thing out of there without me being caught as the one who did it. But then I was like, well, I can never show this to anyone ever again if I steal it out of CK's office.
Right. It's just for your own personal enjoyment.
But trust me, it wasn't my own morals that stopped me, Johnny
Cakes. I'm sure it was not. You are listening to just a clash of the titans in the radio industry. It is the CNC Radio Factory. We're going to come back. We're going to be joined by J.P. Finley from NBC Sports Washington. It's Chad from Chad Dukes versus the World and Cakes from the Junks. We'll be right back on 106.7 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.